Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Walters sitting here in the Carr Firearms Group studios with you on the Patriot Mobile Communication Center. All of it's being brought to you by the great X Insurance. I'm filling your prescription today for freedom for the next 3 hours. And I'm going to warn you right now in advance, buckle in because time is going to fly. If you would like to watch the program in high definition, you can certainly do that by visiting armedamericanradio.com. Watch us on your devices. Please don't do that if you're driving. If you are driving, click the Listen Live button. That's the safest thing to do. And if you want to participate in the chat, you can download the Telegram messaging app, search for Armed American Radio Conversations, and you are in. Or if you're watching us on the web browser at armedamericanradio.com, there is a live chat there as well. Welcome in. Let's get Sunday started. The founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, the great Alan Gottlieb. Mr. Gottlieb, how are you, my friend? Welcome in. We've missed you for a couple weeks, so it's good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's good to be back with you and your listeners, Mark. Thank you.
Oh, Alan, where do we even begin? You know, 2 weeks goes by. You've got the ATF going crazy. Court cases like nuts. I mean, good heavens, Alan. So let me just ask a generic blanket question. Is it me? Or is it really happening this fast? It just seems to be nonstop, Alan. It's never ending.
Well, I think the issue is heating up, Mark, as we get closer to the elections, and the White House is going crazy as well with all kinds of spin and things they're trying to push the government agencies to, you know, infringe on our rights, along with all the court stuff that's percolating from all the seeds we planted. So, and in the media, I mean, like I had last week, or this week, past week, I did 27 media interviews in 1 week.
27 media. Well, I tell you, I saw you in Fox a couple times, and it's good to see you back in there. So let's go here. Does that tell us something? The fact that you've done 27 interviews this week, because the Democrats are continuing to push this gun control agenda. They're not backing off, which is historically a little weird. Frankly, at this stage, coming up on a major election, they tend to back off and move to the center. They're not doing that. And now you're seeing all of these interviews. Is that telling us that the media is now paying attention to this more so than they have been, Alan?
Well, I think the media is paying attention to it because the White House has been pushing their narrative a whole lot. ATF has been pushing the narrative a whole lot. You've got a lot of court cases that, you know, have some, you know, things happening in the courts to report on, and they can't ignore it. So it's just an awful lot happening right now. Our staff is just overwhelmed. We are so busy, it isn't funny.
But that's a good thing, though, in a sense, right? Because when your staff is overwhelmed, that means you're fighting the fight on behalf of viewers and listeners around the country, correct?
Yeah, but Mark, I say it's only good if we win. When we win, it's good.
That's a great point. So why don't we start with this? Let's start with a preliminary injunction motion. Over again, we have marijuana in the news in Pennsylvania, and I want to throw out the public service announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to pay very careful attention to this. Millions of Americans use marijuana recreationally. Many states say that's okay. You can get a medical marijuana card. But the federal government, it is illegal. ATF is not playing games with this. We're going to spend some time talking about the ATF, not just with Alan, but throughout the program, no doubt. And they mean business. And Alan, I'll let you take it from there. What's going on now in Pennsylvania? Because there's been some movement there.
Well, we filed a memorandum in support of our motions there to move this case along. And, of course, this deals with medical marijuana. So a lot of our supporters support that, but they don't support, you know, if you recreational use of marijuana. Personally, I think that, you know, either way, if it's legal in the state, you're not breaking a law. You shouldn't lose your means of self-defense for the rest of your life. On the other hand, I just want to personally, I think, you know, guns and marijuana, guns and booze don't really mix too well by themselves. So I'm not pushing people to use marijuana. I'm just pushing people to have gun rights. And my feeling is if you protect the rights of medical marijuana users, you help cement the right for the rest of us who don't use medical marijuana at the same time. Every time we get a court ruling supporting Second Amendment rights, it's harder for the other side to take them away from anybody.
Well, in a, something like this, we've talked about it before, but when we're talking about weed or marijuana, whatever you want to call it, there's the devil is in the details here, because you would think that a progressive Biden liberal administration would be pushing to decriminalize marijuana. I mean, Biden has released God knows how many people for marijuana laws and violations from America's prisons. Yet the federal government, this progressive administration, is not moving to decriminalize marijuana, and the ATF is taking it very seriously. We see in a number of states where, for example, Minnesota is a new one, that when recreational marijuana and medical marijuana was cleared through the legislature and signed by the governor, the ATF immediately put out a tweet warning people, So there's a disconnect there. And Alan, the cynic in me says that's intentional. They're never going to decriminalize weed as long as they can use it to violate Second Amendment rights. Am I stretching it, or is that true?
I don't know. It might be true, Mark. My feeling is just the inconsistency is they support legalizing drugs, and they support delegalizing gun ownership. So they have a problem there. That's where the disconnect is. I can't say they're using one to do the other. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But there's no doubt anything they can do to decriminalize gun ownership and decriminalize drug use, they seem to be doing.
Yeah, it's not hard to try to tie the two of those together in today's political climate, Alan. It's just not. Again, that's the cynic in me. You know, you do this all day long, it seems to make sense. You would think that if you take guns out of the picture, this administration, if there was no tie-in there legally, this administration would move to decriminalize weed and legalize it across the board, and yet they don't. And it's just hard not to make that connection. But,
well,
you know,
Mark,
again, that's just my opinion.
I just want to say a lot of Democrats, though, are pushing to legalize, you know, drugs. So I can't say this administration isn't in support of that either. I mean, my neighboring state of Oregon, you know, legalized drugs. Now they've had to walk that back a bit because crime has gotten so crazy. You know, in particularly in Portland, Oregon, but I don't think they're that's the logic behind it. I really don't. I think they just want to legalize drugs and criminalize gun ownership.
Yeah, and if they can do that separately, then it doesn't become an issue. And that appears to be the direction the ATF is going. Before I go to the ATF, there was a major victory for gun rights in Washington State. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson cannot be happy with the suit against Custom Guns in Kelso back in September. And as you know all too well, they alleged that the establishment offered to sell high-capacity magazines 11,408 times since July of 2022. And there was a victory out there in Washington State, Alan. What happened?
Well, first of all, let me say it's not alleged that they sold the guns. They did. They're proud of it. They felt it was unconstitutional. I mean, magazines. They felt it was unconstitutional to say that they couldn't sell magazines to their customers. So there's no dispute to the facts that they did it. He went after them for, you know, millions of dollars in fines and damages in court under the consumer protection law because they violated the law. And he's arguing that, you know, magazines are you know, horrible things to have for your firearms. And as a result, you know, sued them. He filed the suit. And what happened is the judge in state judge in court there ruled that the law is unconstitutional and enjoined it from being enforced. The state Supreme Court immediately, so we have a weird system in Washington State. Not judges on the Supreme Court make the ruling, but an administrator of the court made the ruling. It stayed the injunction. And Bob Ferguson, of course, is not happy about this. And they've expedited a court hearing on it in front of the judges coming up in a week. So the state Supreme Court is going to be jumping into that issue now if the magazine ban was constitutional or not. And of course, SAF has a separate suit on that in federal court as well. So this is interesting times. But what really got me with it is what fell below the radar, Mark. The Attorney General Ferguson made a statement to the press out of his own lips, so to speak, that no court in the country has said that a magazine ban is unconstitutional. This is an outlier case, and he's going to win it. Well, he lied to the media when he said that, because a good example is we've won a magazine case in California. We've won a magazine case in Oregon. We've won them in other places as well. And the media never checked him. They printed that like it was real. And the fact that Ferguson got caught lying, so to speak, hopefully will help, hurt his gubernatorial race, because he's now running for governor. But it really galled me that nobody in the media called him out on a falsehood.
Not a shock, not surprising, ladies and gentlemen. It is, but it's not. Maybe it's not because it's Washington State. Nonetheless, we've got one more segment with the great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, Mark Walters, sitting here in the Sig Sauer Carr Firearms Group Studios, Sig Sauer Mike, Patriot Mobile Command Center. It's all brought to you by X Insurance. We'll be back. One more segment with Alan. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone I have in my hands is a Patriot Mobile phone. I activated Patriot Mobile live on the air a couple weeks ago. It was really easy to do. Patriot Mobile here in the Patriot Mobile Communication Center at Armed American Radio. Make sure to check them out at patriotmobile.com/AAR. Patriotmobile.com/AAR. Use that promo code AAR, and guess what? Free activation. Same code I used here. Free activation on the phone. Do it. Support the businesses that support you and support your lifestyle and your beliefs. It's easy to do. You can walk and talk with your wallet, and believe me, it makes a difference. See Bud Light. Alan Gottlieb, founder, Second Amendment Foundation. Welcome back, my friend. Let's go now to ATF, Alan. Oh, boy. Of course, a lot of the media you did was focused here, and I want to spend some time on this because I want people to understand the nuance. But the new ATF rule, and I'll quote Newsmax headline. You were quoted in this piece as well. New ATF rule, a step closer to federal gun registry. Alan, for the last few years, the ATF has been redefining words to fit their political narrative and their agenda, which is pure anti-gun, anti-2A, anti-Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. And it appears, Alan, that they are focusing their attention on law-abiding dealers and law-abiding gun owners, and not criminals and not crime and certainly not alcohol and certainly not tobacco. Let's get into this a little bit. What have they done? Let's get into some specifics on this.
Well, it's hard to get into specifics on this, Mark, for the following reason. A lot of what they said is stuff that's already current law and not a change. And a lot of what they said, what they want to change, they didn't say how they're really going to change it. They just broad-brushed the fact that too many people, sell guns to friends, loan guns to friends. They're not really engaged in the business, but because they trade guns out of their collections, et cetera, that they should be considered dealers. And if they don't have a dealer's license, we should put them in prison. But they haven't quite said what the guidelines exactly are going to be, because they know as soon as they do, they're going to be legally challenged in court. So if this is sort of, fodder for their troops, for the, they're true believers of gun control, showing they're trying to do something in this administration to go after guns and gun ownership. But again, to be honest about it, they weren't that specific because they're afraid to be that specific. So when they eventually then, come out with some real rules, we'll meet them in court again. We already have, I think, three cases against ATF in federal court now, and we'll just file another one. But again, with this is the administration's wish list of getting rid of guns and gun ownership.
Alan, I mean, there's nothing shocking here relative to what the ATF is doing. When you have an administration that we currently have that is vehemently anti-gun, that provides us with a vehemently anti-gun director of ATF, who is now a director, not an acting director, but he's been through the process. and an ATF itself now doing his bidding, the administration's bidding through Dettelbach and the agents. We've seen revocations. Lee Williams has done some incredible work writing on behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation Investigative Journalism Project on this. Second to none, as far as I'm concerned. We've seen revocations of gun dealers' licenses up over 600%. That number might even be higher by now. I haven't looked back, but the last I saw was plus 600%. Should it shock us that the agency is being weaponized like this when you have all of those ingredients in the pot?
With this administration, no, it's not shocking us at all. The problem is it's shocking because it shouldn't be happening from any administration, no matter what. The ATF doesn't get to, make the laws. Congress does. And this is a clear attempt to get around Congress and put in the administration's anti-gun agenda because Congress won't.
Let's take one example in this particular case. The word sale. The ATF is attempting to, or is, redefining what constitutes a sale by trying to say that if you're predominantly trying to make a profit. But how are they going to determine that, number one? And we saw the same tactic with bump stocks, changing the definition. We saw the same tactic with lowers and uppers, changing the tactic, changing the verbiage. We saw the same thing with pistol braces. Now it's sales. What's next? Can't we just assume that they're going to change another rule if they want to, if they keep getting away with this? Because they don't show any indication that they care about the legislative process and the way our republic is supposed to work.
No, and that's why they've been losing these cases in court and why they'll continue to lose the cases in court. In my opinion, there's no two ways about that. But again, what their definition is that barter. So you trade a gun from your gun collection for another gun. And if you trade one, maybe you're okay because we don't know yet. But if you traded three, well, that might make you a dealer and you could go to prison if you didn't have a dealer's license. What they're trying to do is expand the background check system without mm-hmm. Congress doing it. And they're trying to create a registration list at the same time.
By creating new dealers is how all this ties together, ladies and gentlemen. So when you've heard the phrase gun show loophole, this is what they're defining now or create. Because, Alan, I've bought tons of guns at gun shows. I've always gotten a background check. But if I want to sell you a gun under this new published rule when it goes into effect, am I, according to the ATF now, a dealer because I sold you a gun?
You could be. The problem is they haven't really written the regulations yet as to what it's going to be. They just announced what their goal is. And again, this administration just can't be trusted is the problem. There's no way gun owners in the United States of America can trust Joe Biden and his administration.
Where's the criminal here? I mean, it's almost hard to come up with questions for this, Alan. Are the gangbangers in Chicago paying attention to these new rules?
Obviously not. This goes back to, I'm forgetting her name now, but when she was Attorney General under Bill Clinton. But before she was AG, she was the prosecuting attorney in Dade County, Florida. Janet Reno, thank you very much. And Janet Reno went and indicted a handgun, not the criminal who misused it, but she indicted the gun. And she actually went to court to try and do a trial with a jury to, quote unquote, lock up a gun. And this is exactly where they're coming from. I know it sounds stupid, but that's a real story.
No, I remember. It almost leaves you speechless, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Alan, you want to put a exclamation point on the ATF? Because this is very scary stuff when we look at what happened in Arkansas, where the individual, the director of the airport, the executive director of the airport, I'll get it out, ladies and gentlemen, was murdered, in my estimation, when they could have easily just stopped him on his way to work or arrested him at work. Alan, I just want to point out Washington State regarding the magazines. AWR is reporting this, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk with him in the next half hour. But, Alan, Americans own over 700 million ammo magazines with greater than 10-round capacity. Surprised by that number before I have to let you go?
No, I'm not. They're obviously commonly owned, just like commonly owned firearms. They put the magazines in. and they're protected by the Second Amendment. So I'll let AWR expand on that since he wrote the story.
And I know, and I can trust, ladies and gentlemen, as you can, that Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation will see these cases all the way through the Supreme Court, if that's what it takes. Join us at SAF.org. Alan Gottlieb, founder, Second Amendment Foundation. Thank you, my friend, for all that you do. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, next.
The voice of reason on KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, and you're tuned into the Armed American Radio Network. Now let's get back to the man himself, Mark Walters.
Welcome back inside, ladies and gentlemen. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continuing now. Second half of the first hour in the Carr Firearms Group studios. Sig Sauer microphone lit up for you. The Patriot Mobile Command Center on fire and all lit up with all the cool signs and buttons and bells and whistles. And it's all being brought to you today and every day by X Insurance. Please go out of your way to support all of our partners that make this show possible. And I just want to tease this, but tomorrow you'll be hearing a new one on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. And it is it's one of those head slappers. Now, why didn't I think of that? You will be excited about it. I'm excited about it. That's how we roll together on Armed American Radio. So a lot of great stuff happening. Let's go now to the phones. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good.
That's it? Just doing good?
Yeah, I'm just doing good.
You're getting ready to set up a pretty cool hunt, I understand. Is that true? Is that anything we can talk about? Because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go out. I'm going to take a Henry Lever action and kill some alligators. So it's going to be fun.
Ooh, kill some alligators. Yeah, you're going to be doing that in Louisiana, right?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to get some good food down there, too, won't you know. You're going to eat that stuff, too. I just want to see the pictures is what I want to see. You know, kill that big gator up over in there.
I'll get some boudin while I'm down there.
Oh, yeah. Got to do that, man. AWR is just talking with Alan Gottlieb. I know you know that. I ended the segment with him with a headline from you because we started with Washington and the mag ban out there, and Bob Ferguson, he's running for governor now, the AG, as you well know, and he's just Washington, you're listening right now, Seattle, Olympia, Everett, a lot of cities in Washington. Bob Ferguson, he's just a bag of wind, okay? This guy hates your right to keep and bear arms, and those of you who live in that state know it. Do something about it. Don't let him become governor. Unfortunately, I think that might be tough sell with the Seattle and Olympia areas, but nonetheless, it's worth a shot. So see if you can vote him out, get him out of there. But you report Americans own over 700 million ammo mags with greater than 10 round capacity. That's pushing a billion. Okay. It's hard to wrap your head around that number. Honestly, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of ammo mags with greater than 10 round capacity. Doesn't that scream to you, like Alan said, in common use, AWR? When do we put this bed, finally, please?
It certainly does. I mean, you know, you're up at roughly 28 million guns that the Democrats call quote-unquote assault weapons. Same thing, common use. So, but yeah, 700 million. Yeah, I think the figure 717 million and something. So, it's incredible. And the point is not just that they own that many mags, it's that they own that many mags that have a greater than 10 round capacity. And that's why, you know, when I think, if you just this is kind of dangerous saying this, but, and by that I mean I don't want to limit it to one certain thing, but if you ask me on a handgun, what's a standard capacity magazine? What is standard capacity? On a handgun, I would say 15 to 17 rounds.
That would be my answer.
If you ask me on a rifle, I say 30 plus. Mm-hmm. But 30 would be standard. And I should just say 30. 30 would be standard on a rifle. And that's borne out by these mags. 46% of that 717 million 717 400 million, whatever it was, 46% of those are rifle mags with a 30-round plus capacity. So, yeah, people act like, oh, he's got his quote-unquote, his high-capacity magazine. I don't know where he got that. Nobody else has that. Why does he need that? He's going to commit a crime? No, it's what everybody has, you idiot. And that's how we roll. And I have 23 rounds in my Glock right now, thanks to Carrying Tactical's extensions. Well, 23 rounds if you're counting the one I have in the hole. So that's how I roll. Because if it's two assailants, or if there are three assailants, if every one of them is armed, I don't have the luxury of just thinking, you know, the seven rounds that New York approved would be enough. Seven rounds might not even get this thing going. And I want to be sure when it's over, I'm the one going to McDonald's for a cheeseburger and a vanilla shake. I don't care about those guys. And so I'm going to take care of business.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, take a listen to these numbers, okay? Let me put this in perspective for you. You can read this at AWR's piece at Breitbart, but I want you to hear this. This comes from the National Shooting Sports Foundation's Detachable Magazine report. And what it found was an estimated total of just shy of a billion, 963,772,000 ammunition magazines in circulation. So you heard AWR with the numbers. Let's draw the comparison. Of those, an estimated 717,900,000 have a capacity of greater than 10 rounds. And AWR, you always see a mag ban, but they grandfather them in. So what is this, just feel-good, blowhard nonsense from these folks? Because there's a billion magazines out there. Do they think they're going to get them all? And if magazines of that capacity cause mass murder, we're shy mass murders by hundreds of millions to use their mathematics. Or am I missing something?
Yeah, well, no, you're not missing anything. These are just a bunch of loons. And that's why you see compliance so low with a lot of the most recent bans. There's very little compliance. And here's the thing. There's something about, we say this all the time, Mark, you and I, we talk on air and when we talk privately. There's something about when you begin to carry a firearm to protect your life and the life of your family, it does something for you. You can never go back because right. You all of a sudden know, wow, I can protect. Same thing when you go from carrying, let's say, 10 rounds to carrying 15, 17 rounds. You get a 17-round magazine in your handgun, 17 rounds, you're plus one because you got one in the hole. So now you're 18 rounds. It gives you an ability to level the playing field because if someone starts shooting at me or attacks me, I have the rounds I need to take care of business. And like I say, they have to think about that they probably are going to leave wherever that is. They're going to leave in a yellow bag with a toe tag on, which is fine with me. Like I said, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to get my honey bun. I'm all good. I'll eat their honey bun. But I am not going to be bullied by this assailant or that assailant and limit myself to just 10 rounds just because it makes somebody happy who doesn't know the difference between a revolver and a Champion spark plug.
So, you know, let me mention the revolver. You and I have shot revolvers together. We've shot many semi-autos together. We've shot some great Daniel Defense rifles together. Are you uncomfortable carrying a snubby now? And I'm just going to tell you, because I've got a beautiful Smith & Wesson Crimson Trace CT Centennial revolver. It's about a $1,200 revolver with the Crimson Trace grips. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. But honestly, I'm not real comfortable with just those five rounds anymore. I kind of feel like I need 17-plus and an extra magazine with me. What does that make me? Because I love my revolvers, don't get me wrong. But there's better options out there now.
I will tell you, I carried a Kimber K6S last week for about 4 days. And that's
saw the pic. It's beautiful.
Beautiful gun. But it does occur to you every now and then. I only have this many shots. Now, you know, if it's one assailant, and your first or second shot is dead on, I hope it's the first one, you're okay. But I do think about that, too. But, you know, I say all that. I've kept by my bed many a night. In the last 2 months, I've kept the Colt Python 4.
Oh, yeah.
4-inch, 4 1/4-inch barrel, and it's a blued revolver. It's so accurate. You shot that with me one day, I believe.
I did.
It's so accurate that, you know... I think I would giggle when I pulled the trigger because the flash at the end of the barrel is glorious, 357 Magnum, and it's going to be a people stopper. You know?
I have the video, ladies and gentlemen. I have the video of the AWR giggle firing that Colt Python. We had that thing out not too long ago, just a few weeks back, actually. We've got one more segment with AWR Hawkins. We're going to flip it over to the ATF now. We're going to get AWR's straight-up rendition of what's going on in that rogue agency. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
That's the great Mike Gallagher. You love Mike Gallagher. Check him out every day, every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 6 a.m. to 9 Pacific Time, Salem Radio Network. Look him up. He's on a station near you in your city. I can promise you that. We love him, and he supports the right to bear arms. Welcome back. Car Firearms Group Studios lit up. Sig Sauer Mike, Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center on fire for y'all. Lit up. X Insurance presenting it all. Support all of our partners, please. You can find them all at armedamericanradio.com. Heaven's Harvest has a 15% off site-wide. Closing out tonight, guys. So if you want something fun, my brother-in-law picked up a bunch of stuff today from over there. Get a month's worth of food. Get 15% off. You can do it today before that goes away. You can see it all over there at heavensharvest.com. Let's get back over to AWR Hawkins, AWR Breitbart News. Let's go to ATF, brother. Got a mess at the ATF right now, and it's only going to get worse. And I love your headline, from the Texan. I actually talked about this on The Daily Show last week. The Texan, ATF background check rule occurring under a law from Senator John Cornyn. So are they figuring it out in Texas? I know, Texas, you're listening on a lot of stations. You've got it figured out. But apparently some media is beginning to figure this out as well. What's going on here? Because Cornyn's no friend.
No. Well, I don't know really how he has managed to get reelected in his most recent election, even. Because Cornyn worked with the Democrats in a heartbeat. I mean, the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, BSBA, that Joe Biden signed in 2022 that expanded background checks for 18 to 20-year-olds, basically picking 18 to 20-year-olds out of our population and putting stricter gun control on them, that was fashioned by John Cornyn. It set aside money to incentivize states. Now, in my opinion, that means set aside money to kind of push or lure states to adopt red flag laws. And it did other things. It did other things, too. And like I say, Cornyn was handpicked by Mitch McConnell to work with the Democrats to fashion and pass that gun control. So that gun control is now being used by the ATF to put their new background check law in place. They're pointing to it, saying the BSDA gave them the platform through which to do it. And so that's why the Texan says, hey, thank Cornyn. Cornyn's going to put us in this mess.
So let's go to another piece. I did touch on this with Mr. Gottlieb as well. But the redefinition of the word sale. The ATF is just all over themselves, falling all over themselves, redefining words to fit the agenda and the narrative that they're driving, which is to criminalize you, ladies and gentlemen, to put you in prison or worse, kill you. See Arkansas. All right, this is a very real possibility. If you sell a gun, the ATF gets wind of it, and all you did was sell a gun to somebody, which you might have done many times in the past. ATF comes banging on your door. It ain't gonna turn out pretty. But this is a rogue agency. No problem saying that anymore. It's that simple. And if you're an ATF agent listening, well, it's too bad. You know, sometimes reality sucks, doesn't it? ATF redefining the word sale. Explain, would you? How do they get away with this? Go down into the weeds with us a little bit on this.
Right. Well, it's really, I like to frame it this way, Mark. It's no different than when they redefined an 80% frame. They redefined that as a firearm. So that's a firearm. Or when they look at a bump stock and they redefine it and they go, oh, that's a machine gun. And so then they ban it. they ban it, or they do with the 80% frame. They say, well, since it's a firearm, in order to buy an 80% complete frame, you have to do a background check just like you would do for a complete gun. So, you know, it literally is not much different than if you were buying a engine and they told you have to register that engine the way you register your car, because an engine is a car. Well, an engine is not a car. An engine is an engine. But to the ATF, that's how they work. So now what mm-hmm. they've done is they say that a sale is when you exchange a gun for profit. Oh, wait. But it's not just that. It's when a gun changes hands and there's any gain. So that means maybe you don't sell it. Maybe you barter. Literally. Maybe someone down your street that you've known forever, maybe they're getting rid of a bedroom set and you want it, but you're cash poor at the time, so you trade them a .38 special revolver. Well, you got something in exchange for that, so you have to do a background check that you bartered for that. Now, these folks go so far as to say that even if you trade illicit drugs for a firearm, see, when you, for those who are a little leftist, and that means you're slow on the uptake, if you have illicit drugs, you're already breaking the law. You already are in illegal possession of a controlled substance. If you're trading an illegally possessed drug for a firearm, you got to go through a background check. That's how crazy this rule is.
Yeah, and criminals, by the way, the IRS expects you to report your illegal drug sales as income as well. Good luck with that one. AWR, that reminds me of a time where a guy not too far from me down the road wanted my Thompson, and he was willing to trade me a massive, beautiful commercial smoker for it. That's bartering. Now, I didn't follow through that deal. I didn't want to give up the Thompson. He eventually didn't want to give up the cooker. But that's the barter type thing that we're talking about here. And that would require me to get a background check on him if I went through with that deal, or I'm committing a crime. Ladies and gentlemen, they can pop in my house at 5:30 in the morning. Rogue agency all the way. I want to touch on this briefly. We've only got about a minute and a half. Czechoslovak Group to buy U.S. ammo makers with financing from J.P. Morgan Chase. You and I talked about this briefly this morning in a private conversation. Take us down the rabbit hole, because this I don't like.
Oh, yeah, it's a Czechoslovak Group. And there are strong suspicions that they have ties to the Kremlin. And so what you would be doing is they would buy Vista Outdoors, which means they would be buying Remington ammo, Federal ammo, Spear ammo, CCI ammo, and other companies. And so you would have these companies now owned by a foreign entity with feared ties to the Kremlin. And, you know, our ammo prices, they're lower than they were at their highest, but they're not much lower. And I've noticed they're creeping up a little bit. Mm-hmm, you think they're creeping up now. You think they're creeping up now. You wait until four of our huge ammo makers are owned by some agency overseas. You hide and watch, see what happens. And we will have ammo shortages and you know, I had a friend, I was on Newsmax, and a host made the point that there are some police departments that have stipulations. They can't buy ammo from foreign-owned companies. And so this would mean that this would take this ammo away as an option for police. And so that's going to put police in a crunch. So that means the other ammo that's still available to us, police would have to start buying that, so it would be divided. The price increases would be crazy. And besides that, it's a national security issue, in my opinion, because, you know, what good is a gun if you have no bullets? What good
well,
is
and
a
not,
gun?
And not only that, just in the essence of time, AWR, as you and I talked about earlier today, discussing this frightening little situation here, you know that a lot of that ammo is going to wind up going to Ukraine, which is going to dry up the ammo supply here. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. We know that AWR will be reporting on that. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, thank you, brother, for everything that you do, and thank you for being here today. We appreciate it very much. AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. Coming up at the top of the next hour, Sarasota County Sheriff Kurt Hoffman is going to be here. Yeah, we're going to talk some border issues because he's going to be at the border. It's going to be some fun stuff. Don't go away. We'll be back at 6 minutes after.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.